In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the Sunday after Pentecost, which on our church calendar annually is the Sunday of All Saints. And it is just that. It is the Sunday where we commemorate all saints, known and unknown, throughout the ages. It was originally the Sunday of All Martyrs because the first saints of the church were the martyrs of the church. And goodness knows, even today there are many, many, many unknown martyrs who continue to give their life for the faith. Horrible as that is, even in our day and time, even right now, probably even today, there is a Christian somewhere in the world dying for his or her faith. And in the Middle East, certainly, there are Orthodox Christians dying for their faith, right here and right now. That is the Sunday of All Saints. The appointed epistle reading is a beautiful passage that we are all familiar with, and it's worth reading this part again. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfection of our faith. And it doesn't matter whether you're one of those people who believes that St. Paul wrote Hebrews or St. Paul didn't write Hebrews, it much doesn't matter. Those are very powerful words. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Obviously, in this church, visually, we're surrounded by quite a cloud of witnesses. But these icons all around us just remind us of that reality that the saints are all around us, and that the saints are not only around us as we continue to have these brief epiphanies and contacts with the kingdom of God, but the saints are around the glorious throne of God in heaven, awaiting us, praying for us. And it says at the end, I love this, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfection of our faith. We have the saints before us so that we can run the race correctly. Well, with that in mind, I wanted to offer just three separate but also related thoughts with regard to this Sunday. The first has to do with martyrdom. As I mentioned, this was originally the Sunday of All Martyrs, and we know that the first saints of the church were martyrs. And it's important for us as we think about Christian martyrdom to understand that, like so many other aspects of our faith that are unique, our martyrdom is unique. There is one major world religion that says that one can gain access to heaven via martyrdom. And so people seek out martyrdom so they can gain access to heaven. Christianity is not like that. People are martyred because of their existing contact with the kingdom of God. In other words, Christians understand how real all of this is, and they can't deny the reality of it. It would be impossible. So the prerequisite, if you will, to martyrdom is to be at least partially walking in the kingdom of heaven, to be in communion with Jesus Christ. So our communion with Christ, our experience of the kingdom, makes martyrdom possible. It is not somehow that martyrdom gives us magical access into the kingdom of God. And as we think about martyrs, those of us, all of us who perhaps from time to time might question our faith, might have doubts, think about the martyrs and what they were willing to go through in order to not deny their faith. And they did that because their faith was so real to them. And we're talking not only about the martyrs of the first century, we're talking about the martyrs of the 21st century. So since all Christians from time to time will go through some questioning and crises of faith, that's okay, because there are other Christians who, when the time came for them to stand up for Christ, did so, and did so courageously. And they bolster us, and they encourage us. And we need their memory. We need their memory to remind ourselves that what we are doing here today in church is absolutely 100% real, life-saving, important, necessary etc. And Christian martyrdom, the actual physical martyrdom, I think it puts a lot of our quote-unquote sacrifices into perspective. We know that the rise of monasticism, people going out to the desert, happened because there was no longer Christian martyrdom, and so people were seeking some type of sacrifice, if you will, in order to live as real Christians. The people who went to the desert thought that the Christians now, after the age of martyrdom, were not as serious as they once were. We know all that. But then we think about the horrible, arduous task that we have, such as praying every day. And the great sacrifice of having to fast in a nation of plenty, where there's never a question about being able to find fasting food, whether it's the grocery store or a restaurant, or even on the road. And obviously I'm speaking a little bit ironically there. These are not great sacrifices. They're things that the church tells us to do. But when we consider abstaining from certain foods on Wednesdays and Fridays and contrast that with a person being tortured and killed rather than deny his or her faith, it all seems a little bit silly to whine about fasting. Well, that's the segment on martyrdom. Now a segment of this sermon on the interior life, the inside of us. And as we consider the saints, as we consider ourselves, it's important for all of us to bear in mind that nobody really knows what's on the heart of another person except for that person himself and God. That's it. And we make a grievous error. We know this. Jesus warns us not to do this. When he said, do not judge others lest you be judged yourself. We know all this. But it is a huge, huge mistake, really a waste of time, to judge the hearts of other people. A 20th century saint who was canonized in the 21st century, Elder Paisios of the Holy Mountain, wrote this. These words were compiled by Father Edward Pahanik, attributed to Elder Paisios. And it has to do with why it is so dangerous for us to try to judge the heart of another human. Elder Paisios says, when someone injures us in whatever way, whether with slanders or with insults, we should think of him as our brother who has been taken hold of by the enemy. He has fallen victim to the enemy. Accordingly, we need to have compassion for him and entreat God to have mercy both on us and on him, and God will help both. We should feel the malice of the other person as an illness which is tormenting him, in which he is unable to shake off. And so we should regard our brethren with sympathy and behave with courtesy towards them, repeating in our hearts with simplicity the prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner, so that the grace of God may strengthen our soul and so that we won't pass judgment on anyone. So Elder Paisios tells us that if somebody is not treating us well, that person is suffering inside. There's something wrong with them. They deserve our compassion. We talk very often with regard to the interior life, our own interior life, mine and yours. We talk very often with regard to the saints, and we compare our journey as perhaps a journey across a flatland, a desert, if you will. And suppose we were all walking side by side through the desert. If I were to turn and look to my left and to my right to find my way through the desert, I'd probably just get more and more lost, because everybody else, as we walk in this line, we're just as lost as the next person. But if ahead of us in the desert there was a beacon way, way off in the distance, that's where I would fix my eyes. And that's the saints. Those are the saints. Those are the people upon whom we should fix our eyes. Those are the people, if you will, whom we should judge. Because when we judge them, we find out just how it is that you and I are supposed to live as Christians. And if the first part of this sermon has to do with martyrdom and the second part with the interior life, our hearts, then the third part has to do with outward appearances. Outward appearances. And No, we shouldn't live to put on airs. We shouldn't live to have a facade of a life. But outward appearances can tell us a great deal. Jesus says this in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Every sound tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears evil fruit. A sound tree cannot bear evil fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. So there is something to be said for external outward appearance, because people can judge us by our fruits. What is the product of our life? That's a legitimate question. That's a question all of us should ask ourselves, I hope, at least once a day. It's certainly true of churches. We can see some churches are growing, some churches are shrinking, some churches are on fire, and some churches are asleep. So we know churches by their fruit. School teachers will tell you what the best window into the family is, and it's the kids who are sitting in the desks in front of them. We know the fruit of the family just by looking at children. And we can know holy people just by looking at them. I mentioned Elder Paisios earlier. And like many other saints of the church, people knew when he was alive that he was a saint. He reposed in the Lord in 1991. He was canonized in 2013. Now, to Americans and Westerners, 1991 to 2013 seems like a long time, but in the Orthodox world, that's very quick. So people knew in his lifetime that he was a saint, and he was canonized just a little bit over two decades after his repose. There is something to be said for living an externally visible, holy life. Now, before concluding, I wanted to share with you two more quotes from St. Paisios, and then tie them together with what we've been talking about this morning. And these, again, were compiled by this same priest, Father Edward Pahanic. One has to do with the reading of Scripture. Devote yourselves to the Scriptures. Love reading and studying them. Read clearly and distinctly, word by word. Read the words aloud and listen to them. That's a great help. And where you come across a particularly meaty passage, read it again to understand it better. That's St. Paisios on the reading of Scripture. And now on the divine services. The divine services of the church are words in which we converse and speak to God with our worship and with our love. The hours spent closest to paradise are the hours spent in the church together with all our brethren when we celebrate the divine liturgy, when we sing, and when we receive Holy Communion. But the snares of Satan are many for those who worship God. Temptation manages very successfully to ensure that we pay no attention to the worship. We go to church frequently only to continue our sleep. Think what we are missing when we are in church in this thoughtless state. And I share those with you because remember the first part of the sermon had to do with martyrdom and sacrifice. And we compare then the sacrifice, if you will, of reading Scripture carefully, the sacrifice of attending church regularly and being vigilant in church, of praying and receiving communion. And those are not great sacrifices at all, obviously, compared to martyrdom. And then with regard to the interior person, the change of our heart, what is written on your heart and my heart? I can't think of two better ways to change our hearts than to read Scripture the way that St. Paisios tells us to read Scripture and to attend church the way he tells us to attend church. And then with regard to outward appearances, wouldn't it be nice if somebody could walk in on us unexpectedly and catch us in the act of reading Scripture? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be among those group of people when they say, oh, who's so-and-so? Oh, don't you know? He sits in the fourth pew back on the right. Oh, yeah. Those are the kind of people where they're in church so often that everybody knows exactly where they sit. And we can fairly surmise that we know the state of the heart of such a person. So here are some simple thoughts for us on this day. Some simple thoughts for those of us, who recognize that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Some simple thoughts for those of us who want to run the race that is set before us and run it with perseverance. Some simple thoughts for us on this Sunday, the Sunday of All Saints.